Okay, today's daf is Brachos daf Chaf. We left off on daf Yud Tes. Brachos daf Chaf. We left off on daf Yud Tes on the base. We were at Tashema, about 10 lines from the end of the page, and we're in the middle of the Sugya of Kavod HaBrios. First today's shiur is sponsored once again by David Hamm in honor of his wife Margie, and again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors so very much for the sponsorship of the daf shir. So again, we're in the middle of the sugya of Kavod HaBrios. So we were discussing, what do you do when Kavod HaBrios goes against, when it conflicts with a mitzvah in the Torah? Do we say ein chachme ein tvuna ein etzel neged Hashem, that the mitzvahs in the Torah are always going to win? Or do we say Kavod HaBrios tochalos se shabbat Torah, that Kavod HaBrios is going to be the factor that wins? So we're in the middle of bringing there five rayas that the Gemara brings. We went through the first three of them yesterday, and we're going to go through two more rayas today. Then the Gemara is going to talk about in Amud Aleph how the earlier generations were zochet to more miracles, even though they had lesser Torah scholarship in the earlier generations, but they had a greater sense of Mesiras Nefesh, and as a result of their greater sense of Mesiras Nefesh, they were zochet to more miracles. And the Gemara is going to tell a number of stories about first the Mesiras Nefesh of earlier generations, and then just about the general godless of certain people from earlier generations. Then we're going to have a Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph going over Tamud Beis that talks about which mitzvos Nashim Avadim and Ketanim are pater from and which mitzvos they're chayiv in. The Gemara is going to talk about women being chayiv in Kiddush, and why in the world women would be chayiv in Kiddush. After all, women are pater from mitzvos asay shazman grama, and Kiddush seems to be a very good example of a mitzvos asay shazman grama. The Gemara is going to talk about women and birchas hamazon. It's going to talk about a katan being motzi other people in Birchas HaMazon, and then and then toward the end of the page, the new Mishnah is going to discuss at the very end of the daf a balkeri, and whether someone who became a balkeri, someone who was motzi zera, is allowed to say brachos, is he allowed to daven, is he allowed to say kriya shema, what should he do when he's in a crowd of people that are like that? And that's going to get into the very important topic of hirur kedibur dami or hirur lav kedibur dami. Is it an eitzah to tell him to just think about it instead of saying it? Does that count as if he is saying the words when he's only thinking the words in his mind? So let's begin about, again, 10-12 lines from the end of the page. Tashma, last one line, vihis alamta, on daf yutas on base. So Tashma says, raya number four, as to whether Kavod HaBrios is docha mitzvos, or mitzvos are docha Kavod HaBrios. What do we do when there's a conflict between Kavod HaBrios and mitzvos? So vihis alamta mehem, the pasuk says that when you find an aveda, you should hide your face from it, that you shouldn't pick up the aveda. Well, wait a second, not in my Torah, it doesn't say that. This is quoting a pasuk out of context. The pasuk actually says, lo tira es sharachicha o eseyo nidachim visalamta mehem. Do not see someone else's object and then just hide your face from it. Rather, hashev teshivim lachicha. You have to go and return it to the person that lost it. But nevertheless, since it's such a funny way of phrasing that you're not supposed to hide from it, it doesn't say lo tisalim. It says, do not see your friend's animal and then visalamta mehem. So it makes it sound like there's a mitzvah to pretend you don't see the aveda, like there's a heter at least to pretend you don't see the aveda and to ignore it. So the Gemara darshins that phrase taken out of context. That there are some times that you're actually not supposed to pick up the aveda, that you're supposed to be misalimehem, and there are other times that you're not supposed to be misalimehem. Hakeitzad im hayakoin v'besakvaros, if returning the aveda would involve you violating an iser, the aveda is in a besakvaros and you're a kohen, so you're not allowed to be metami yourself to mesim. Or even if it's not an iser per se, but you're a very respectable person, and walking around with this aveda would be terribly embarrassing. You see a pair of underwear or something, and you're a chashva politician, Rosh Hashiva, whatever, so you're going to go and you're going to carry around this aveda. People are going to see that's going to be a terrible bizayon to the person. Or a third circumstance, where your time is worth more money than the aveda is. the malacha you would be doing during that time would earn you much more money than the aveda is worth. So then, that's why the Torah says v'salamta. In those three circumstances, you actually are pater from doing hashavas aveda. But wait a second. Why should we say because you're a zakin venilti kvodo, because of kavod abrios, because of the kavod of your because you're a chashuv person, so you can't do this mitzvah? There's no such thing as too chashuv to do a mitzvah. What about the in chachma in tvunei neitzel neged Hashem? Says more shiny asim duksiv esalam to him. You're right. Generally speaking, there's no such thing as too chashuv to do a mitzvah. But over here, it's gzeres hakasav. The pasuk specifically says v'salam to him. So we see from there that you do have this this heter. So says more v'ligmar mina. So okay, but now that it says v'salam to him by hashava saveda. So generally speaking, when the Torah is megala to us an idea in one place, we apply the principle of memetzinu, of binyanav. We say that that place is not an exception. We assume that it sets up the rule that we can learn to kalatarakula. So why don't I learn from v'salamta mehem that kavod abrios beats mitzvos? Because you see, it's true by Hashava Saveda, says Mar Isur Mimamona Lo Yalfinan. You do see it as far as Dini Mamonis is concerned. Meaning, kavod abrios would beat out mitzvos when monetary issues are concerned. But when it comes to Isur Meheter, we can't learn from there, because the Torah in general is divided into three categories. There's Tum and Tahara, there's Isser V'Heter, and there's Dine Mamnos, and those categories don't cross over each other. So you could derive some Mamonu Me'isura Lo Yalfinan. We don't learn from Mamon from Dine of Isser. And Tum and Tahara have their own sets of rules. The Gra points out in his commentary on Chumash, Bein Dam L'Dam, Bein Din L'Din, Bein Nega L'Nega, that the Torah specifically gives three categories. Dam L'Dam, so Dam Nida is Isser V'Heter, that a husband is asked to his wife. Meaning even nowadays, where we don't practice Tum and Tahara, we still practice Nida, because that's Isser V'Heter. It's not about Tum and Tahara. Din L'Din, that's Din Imamanis. Nega L'Nega, that's Tum and Tahara. Those are three distinct categories. The greatest riot that those categories are totally distinct from each other is what do you do in a situation of Suffolk? You see that they have totally different rules. When you have a Din of Suffolk Tumah, so we learn from Sota, Suffolk Tumah Bershas Haravim is Tara, Suffolk Tumah Bershas Yachid is Tameh. There's no logic for that. It just is. Xeris HaKasav, that's the din of Suffolk in the world of Tumah is treated based on where it is, whether it's in Rosh Hashayach or Rosh Hashanah. What do you do when you have a Suffolk in Isser V'Heter? Suffolk Daraisa L'Chumra, Suffolk Drabanan L'Kula. And what do you do when you have a Suffolk in Dine Mamanis? Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. Totally different rules by all three categories. So you're right. In the world of Dine Mamanis, we see that Kavod Abrios beats out the Surim. But we still don't see it outside of the world of Dine Mamanis. So says Gemara, let's try one more Raya. Tashma Ula Achoso Matam Lomar. The Pasuk says Ula Achoso. Context of that Pasuk is in discussing a Nazir, the Pasuk in Parshas Naso tells us that La'aviv, Li'imo, La'achiv, Ula Achoso, Lo Yitame Lehem Bimosam, Kinezer El Kaval Rosho, that a Nazir is supposed to have this elevated level of Kedusha, and therefore he's not even allowed to be Metame to the Zion Krovim, and included in the Zion Krovim is Achoso. So what does the Torah add when it says La'achoso? Obviously he's not being Metame to Aviv Imo, he's not going to be Metame to Achoso. So says the Gemara as follows. Matam lomar haresha yaholich lishot es pischa v'lom l'spino. Case is you're going to do a mitzvah. A guy is going to shach the Karban Pesach. He's going to do a bris milah, a very important mitzvah. V'shama shemes l'meis, and he finds out that a relative of his died. So yachol yachzor v'yitame. I might think that he should go take care of the mace, because that's a kavod abrios issue to take care of a mace. So I might think, because they're leaving a body mutal bebizayon left out unburied, is a terrible lack of kavod abrios. So it's a kavod abrios issue to bury the mace. So I might think, go be metame yourself and cost yourself the opportunity for the mitzvah of bris milah, for the mitzvah of korban pesach. You lose out on mitzvos in order for kavod abrios. That's why the pasuk says lo yitama. No, don't become tame. Go do your mitzvah. So yachol k'shem sheinu metame lahem kachin metame l'meis mitzvah. So I might think, oh, if I'm not metame to the Zion Krovim, maybe even if it's a meis mitzvah, that that doesn't have any kovrim, I shouldn't be mitame. I should go do my mitzvah and worry about the kvura later. So tamlomer ulachoso, lachoso udeinu mitame, avu mitame hu lemeis mitzvah. That's what the pasuk is teaching us when it says lachoso, that it's only the zayin krovim that you're not mitame to, but you are mitame to a meis mitzvah. Meaning the meis mitzvah is mutal bibizayon. It's an issue of kavod abrios, and therefore the meis mitzvah overpowers the concern for the mitzvahs of Mila and for the mitzvahs of Karban Pesach. I might leme in chachmein tvunavei neitza leneged Hashem, but says Gemara, but wait a second, shouldn't we say that kavod abrios is never a factor over here? Why are we saying that when it comes to the zayin krovim, ignore them and go do your mitzvah, but when it comes to a meis mitzvah, it's a kavod abrios issue. You got to take care of the meis mitzvah and give up on your actual mitzvos. Give up on the Pesach and the Mila. What do you mean? Give up a mitzvah? Say chachmein tvunei neitzel neged Hashem. You got to do mitzvahs that beats kavod abrios. Says Gemara. So don't you see from here that kavod abrios beats out mitzvahs? Says Gemara. Shaini asam duchsiv lachoso. Now that's a gzeres hakasav. The pasuk goes out of its way to say lachoso to tell me that this is an exception. So says Gemara. Okay, but v'ligmar mina. Maybe it's not telling me it's an exception. Maybe the Torah is establishing the rule and it's saying, as an example, from lachoso, you learn that the kavod abrios of a meis mitzvah is going to overpower actual mitzvos like Korban Pesach and Bris Mila. So says Mar Shevi Al Tasa Shaini. All you can learn from the case of Lachosa, from the case of the Meis Mitzvah, is that you have to refrain from doing a mitzvah for the sake of Kavod Abrios. Meaning, if failure to do the mitzvah just involves not doing the mitzvah, it involves Shevi Al Tasa, then in a chinami, then you go and you take care of the Kavod Abrios. But if the Kavod Abrios would demand that you actively violate a mitzvah, then we're going to say in chachmein tvunei neitzah neged Hashem. So essentially what emerges from this Gemara is that there are three exceptions, there are three cases where kavod abrios overpowers mitzvos. One is when the mitzvos are only mitzvos midrabanan, right? We said that kavod abrios is going to override mitzvos. Another exception that is when the mitzvos are mitzvos of dine mamonis, kavod abrios is going to override the mitzvos. And third is when the violation of the mitzvah is only going to be b'shevi alta, so it's only going to be passive, then kavod abrios is going to be docha the mitzvah. So a couple of things over here. First of all, how do we define what's called shevi al tasa, what's called passive? Let's say it's not about me. Let's say there's somebody else that's doing a mitzvah actively but is unaware of it. So for him, he is doing an avera actively. So the actual violation of the mitzvah is being done actively. But for me to observe the kavod abrios and not say anything would involve me being passive, me just not saying anything. For example, what if I see someone wearing shatnas? So take the example the Gemara used yesterday. I see someone wearing shatnas in the shuk. He's in the market and he's wearing a beged that has shatnas in it. That's considered an active violation. As he continues to wear shatnas, it's considered an active violation. So if I tell him right now, right in the middle of the market, hey buddy, that suit is shatnas, he's got to take off his pants and his jacket, it's going to be a kavod abrios problem, right? He's going to be walking around without a suit on until he can find somewhere to hide or until he can get home. So that's going to be a kavod abrios issue. He's going to try to get an Uber or whatever, and then Uber is going to report him. It's going to be bad, right? So that's going to be a serious kavod abrios issue. But if I should I say, well, shevi al tasa, I just won't say anything. But he's being active. So is that called shevi al tasa, or is that called kumvase? So Nedvida is a tshuva in Madura Kama or Chaim Sim Lamed Hey, where he discusses this very issue, and he says that it's machlokas Rambam in the Rush, and it's tully in a girsa in the Gemara we had in yesterday's daf, because the Gemara in yesterday's daf spoke about someone who finds klayim, right? Someone who finds shatnas. So poshto afilu b'shuk, we said that he should remove the shatnas even if he's in the market. So the question is, what's the girsa? Is it, it was five lines from the top of Yutas and Beis, is it amotze klayim poshto afilu b'shuk, or is it amotze klayim bibigdo poshto afilu b'shuk? Is the Gemara saying when you find shatnas on your own beged, you got to take it off, but on someone else's beged, leave it on him because it's shevi al tasa for you not to say anything? Or do we say no, hamotze klayim on anyone's beged, even if it's somebody else, poshto, make sure he takes it off because it's a violation that's being done b'kumvasei? That's machlokas Rambam And the Rush. Why does Nadav Yehuda talk about this? Because Nadav Yehuda was asked a shaila as follows. There was a case, one of the most unbelievable cases in all of shaila and tshuva literature. There was a case where there was this young man, a yeshiva bacher, where they used to not have dormitories in the yeshiva, so they would put him up at people's homes in the community. So this young man was staying at someone's home, and he was a big masmid, he was like the best guy in yeshiva, he was learning Yom HaVelayla, a really wonderful story, and it turned out he fell in love with the daughter of the people whose home he was staying in, and they were engaged to be married. Storybook ending. Everything's wonderful. But then he confessed that, or he told the Nadav Yehuda, he asked the Shaila, that as it turns out, he's been living in the house for the past few years, and he's been having an affair with a woman of the house, with his Kala's mother, for the last 3 years. Beina Starim. He didn't miss any Starim, but between Starim. So his Shaila was, now he knows that his future mother-in-law is Asura to his father-in-law, because if a woman who is Mizana, she's Asura Labaila. So now he knows his future mother-in-law is Asura to his father-in-law. So what should he do? Should he tell his father-in-law? Should he not tell his father-in-law? What's the cheshbon not to tell his father-in-law? Kavod Arbios. They're a very respectable family. It's going to rip the whole family apart, and it's going to ruin the reputation of the entire family. So it's a real Kavod Arbios issue. He has no idea. The father-in-law's got no idea. So maybe you shouldn't tell him. So that's the shaila. Every time the father-in-law is going to be with his wife, it's going to be an active violation of an iser. But for the guy not to tell is a passive shevi al tasa. So that was the shaila of the, and then the second half of the shaila was a famous tshuva, because of the second half. The second half is, how do I do tshuva for something like this? So the view, that is a whole thing about how a person does tshuva for something of that nature. So unfortunately, these shaila, I mean, not so crazy, but like that, but these shailas unfortunately do come up where people are unfaithful. Rav Asher Weiss told me once that he finds that most of the times these shailas come up, the woman hasn't actually been mizana. She's done many isurim, but usually she stops short of actually being mizana. And a therapist often asks the shaila, that a woman confesses in therapy that she's been with another man. So now, what does a therapist do when to tell the husband and to ruin the marriage if she thinks that the marriage can actually still be salvaged? Okay, but that's a different story. So we also made the assumption over here that leaving the mace is an issue of kavod abrios. The achronim are all bothered by the kasha, and it's also a mitzvah. Meaning, it's not kavod abrios versus the mitzvah of Pesach and Mila over here. There's also mitzvah of kvura. So that the achronim deal with in 7 or 8 different ways, but that's an important kasha to ask as well. Okay, says the Gemara now. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye, Maisha Rishon D'Srach Shul Nisa, Maisha Anan D'Lo M'Srach Shul Nisa. Why is it that in earlier generations there were all these miracles, and we never have miracles happen for us? So Yimishum Tzmiyei, if it's because they had greater Torah scholarship, so B'Shneid Rav Yudu Kulei Tzmiyei B'Nezikin Hava, but it's not true, and we can document that it's not true. In Rav Yehuda's years, back in the old days, they were experts, they were learned in Seder Nezikin, in one Seder. Va'anan Kamasin Shisa Sidri. We learn all 6 Sedarim. It used to be yeshivas would learn whatever, Nashim Nezikin. Now you go to Lakewood, and there are Batei Medrash, so they're learning everything. Kala Torah Kula is being learned in Lakewood, and Bnei Brak, and Yerushalayim, and all over the place. So don't tell me it's less scholarship. V'chiyavamati Rav Yehuda Ba'uktzin, Ha'isha Shekavesh Es Yarek B'kadeira, Va'armila Zesim Shekavshim B'trafin Tahorim, when Rav Yehuda, in his generation, the previous generations, when they would learn some basic Mishnayos and Maseches Uktzin about a woman who pickles a vegetable in a pot, or about Zesim that are pickled together with their peels, so they're Tahor. So these are just Mishnayos and Uktzin. Amar Havayos Rav Shmuel Kachazina Hacha. He'd say, oh, this stuff is so hard. This is like the complicated sugyas of Rav and Shmuel, meaning they weren't so well versed in Tumah and Tahara, in all areas of Torah. V'anan kamasnin b'uktzin place of Masifta. We have 13 yeshivas learning uktzin. Like I said, you go to Lakewood, there's a base medrash learning uktzin probably right now. In we have people learning. So Tosfos says place of Masifta yesh mafarshin place of yeshivas yesh banu shabikim v'tleisa lav dafka loshna ragil b'gemara. He says 13 is one of those exaggerated numbers that the Gemara uses. The Gemara has certain numbers that are like go-to numbers when it wants to exaggerate something. So 13 yeshivas learning uktzin, meaning a lot. There are a lot of people that are learning uktzin. Vila Rav Yehuda ki avashalav chad masani. Yet, when Rav Yehuda would start davening, as soon as he would remove one of his shoes, Asi Mitra would start to rain. If he would start to daven for rain, and he would start to be knowing certain Nihugei Avelus as a way of davening for rain, so he would remove his shoes, like a Netainis, so it would write, as soon as he took off one shoe, it started to rain. And we scream and we cry, Mitzrayim, and we call kinnis of the whole community, and we the less the mashkech ben, and there's no response from Shemayim. We don't get rain. Why is it? Why did the earlier generations? Why were they zocha to this? So I'm like, kamay you have a kamasri nafshay v'kedush Hashem, and none l'masri nafshin v'kedush Hashem. Earlier generations were mostly nefesh for kedush Hashem. Our generation is not mostly nefesh for kedush Hashem. This was true in the times of the Gemara. How much more true it is nowadays, right? We see that the Torah is flourishing more than it ever was, probably in human history. There are more people learning Torah today than ever. Just I was on a plane to Eretz Yisrael last week. The whole plane had a Maseches Brachas on them. It was unbelievable. There was a guy in front of me, didn't have a yarmulke on his head, and he had a Maseches Brachas. It's just the whole world's learning Torah. But a level of Mesiris Nefesh, you know, the post-Holocaust generation, that level, or the pre-Holocaust generation in the United States, with losing the jobs every Shabbos, that level of Mesiris Nefesh, that's something that we don't see anymore. So the Mesiris Nefesh of the previous generations was much greater. What's an example of Mesiris Nefesh, says Gemara? So an unusual example. Ravad Barava saw a Kuti woman, Tavislavisha Karbalto Bishuka. She was wearing some sort of a scarf in the shuk that was deemed to be natsanua. What was natsanua about it? So when we think of lack of tznius, we think of that which reveals too much of the person's body. No, natsanius means was too attention grabbing. How could a headscarf be natsanius? It's by definition, it's covering her head. No, it's something that was grabbing attention by its bright colors or whatever. Savar de Bas Yisrael. He thought she was a Bas Yisrael, and therefore he thought it was inappropriate for her to be wearing this. So kam karimina. He ripped it right off of her. So Glei Milsa Dekutisava, Dekutisi. And then he discovered she wasn't a Bas Yisrael. She was a Kutis. And therefore, that's why she was dressing like a Prutza. So Shemua Barba Meazuse, they assessed that he cost her 400 zuz because he ripped her very expensive headscarf. It was a designer thing. So Amalei, Mashimcha. So he said to her, what's your name? Amalei, Matun. She says, my name is Matun. So Amalei, Matun, Barba Meazuzi Shavi. He says, Matun. You say it twice. Matun sounds like Messiah. It sounds like 200. You just cost me 400 zuz. So you cost me matun plus matun, meaning he tried to make a joke to lighten the situation, I guess, afterwards, but he had to pay her the money. But that was the Mesiris Nefesh that he was willing to do for the sake of Kavod Shemayim. So that's a question. Are you allowed to do that? Meaning, was this, what's the maskana of the Gemara over here? Was he wrong or was he right? Meaning, had it been a Basi Yisrael, are we saying he was most nefesh and he just couldn't control himself and he did it, but you're not really allowed to cost people money even if they're doing an Avera, even if they're doing an Isser? I had a Shaila once, a tailor had a suit that was brought in by a frum person, or by a Jewish person, let's say not a frum person, by a Jewish person. And the tailor is looking at the suit, and there's shatness in the suit. Yeah, there's no doubt that there's shatness in the suit. The person never asked him to check the suit for shatness, never asked him to remove the shatness, and the person apparently doesn't care about shatness. So should the tailor remove the shatness from the suit? Now clearly he's removing, he's taking something that belongs to somebody else, right? This suit belongs to somebody else. Are you allowed to do that when the person is violating an avera? So that's an interesting shayla lahalacha. Rav Gida lava ragel lava ka'azil v'yasav ashari de tefila. A couple of more stories about earlier generations. Rav Gidl used to sit by the gates of Tevila, by where the women would go to the mikvah, and Omer Lahu, Hachi Tevila V'Hachi Tevila, he would give specific instructions of how to be Tovel. So Amilu Rabbanan, Lokam Stafi Marmi Yetzar Hara, aren't you a little bit nervous about your Yetzar Hara? This is what you're doing as women are being Tovel, you're instructing them on proper Tevila? That certainly lends itself to Yetzar Hara. Amar Lahu Damin Bapai Kikaki Chivri, he says, I've no Yetzar Hara for them. To me, they're like white geese. It doesn't affect me whatsoever. If you look in that Golos Habach on the side, he says, "Near Benai Hadulah Amrulei Me'ena Bisha." Kedam Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, Hanim Shem Rabbi Yochanan Mistakli, the Rabbi Yochanan Mistakli BeVishayich BeEna Bisha. Masha'inkin Rav Gidol, he says that we're about to see the next story with Rabbi Yochanan, where they ask. He also stood by the Shari Tefila, but they don't ask him about his Yetzer Hara. They ask him about Ayin Hara, and that the reason is, says the Bach, because in the story with Rabbi Yochanan, he wasn't looking at the women, they were looking at him, and that's going to be an ayin hara story. Aval kasha, amaylo amri le Rabbi Yochanan lo mistafi mar miyetzer hara. But shouldn't Rabbi Yochanan still have a yetzer hara problem because he was right by the mikvah? So he says, v'yeshlom mishum to Rabbi Yochanan af apav mechasenes enov v'lo ra'a k'disa b'taynis daftes b'uv to diyunuka dal enev chaza. He says Rabbi Yochanan had this unusual condition where he had these very long eyelashes that covered over his eyes, and they had to manually lift up his eyelids in order for him to be able to see. So even though Rabbi Yochanan, as we're about to see, I should have read the story first, but as we're about to see in the next story of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan also stood by the Shari Tefila. He didn't see anything. He didn't see the women, so there was no problem of Yetzer Hara. So what's the story with Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan, Ragel Davaka Azul Yasav Shari Tefila. Rabbi Yochanan used to sit by the mikvah. Amr Kisalkum Dnosol the Asin Mitzvila Mistaklim Bi. And the reason he did so was because he figured that when the women come out of the mikvah, the first thing they'll see is the holy Rabbi Yochanan. They'll see the kedusha of Rabbi Yochanan. And that way they'll have children, because that night is a mitzvah sona, and hopefully they'll get pregnant on that night. And the assumption is that which is in their mind on the Leil Ona is going to have an impact on the children. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says, even though it's not we're not knowing to tell people to do this anymore, but the Shulchan Aruch says that a person is supposed to think Divrei Torah during Tashmish. Why? Why in the world would you think Divrei Torah during Tashmish? Now the idea is that that kedusha thoughts might have impact on the kedusha of the child. So the woman is going to have thoughts of Rabbi Yochanan, of the kedusha of Rabbi Yochanan, and maybe she'll have such beautiful children like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was known as an exceedingly beautiful man, which doesn't seem to fit our understanding of beauty based on the other physical descriptions that the Gemara gives of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara tells us that he was morbidly obese, and that he had these gigantic eyelashes, and that, so it doesn't, in our mind's eye, it doesn't, it's not a picture of someone that you would see in a magazine or something, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan was known as having exceptional beauty, and he thought that that would have an effect on the children that are conceived from that bia. So Amar Le Rabbanan, Lo Kamistafi Mar Mein Abisha. The Rabbanan said to him, "It's great, but aren't you worried about Ayin Hara? Meaning, you're setting yourself up as a person to be looked at as the symbol of beauty. You're not supposed to draw attention to whatever you have. That's going to be Ayin Hara." So Amar Lo, Ana Mizar Diosef Kasim Lo Shalta Be'Ein Abisha. He says, "I have a trick. I'm from the Zarad Yosef. I happen to be from the offspring of Yosef, and the offspring of Yosef is not subject to Ayin Hara. We're not susceptible to the Ayin Hara." Dichsiv Ben Paras Yosef Ben Paras Ale Ayin Vam Rabbi Yavol Al Tikrei Ale Ayin El Ole Ayin. That we go above the Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara affects everybody else. I mean, when other people are looking at your successes, it can harm you. But if you're Mizara de Yosef, even when other people are looking at your successes, it's not going to harm you. How does one who is susceptible to Ayin Hara avoid Ayin Hara? So it's exactly what they were telling Rabbi Yochanan. Just don't be seen. Don't draw attention. Isn't the way to ward off Ayin Hara by wearing the right to bendel that your grandmother gave you? So now that there is Chazal that talk about wearing a right to bendel. That's Tosefta Masech HaShabbos that tells us that that's Darkei Amori, that that's Asur to do, because that's the way the Amori people used to do. So that's a practice that does not come from Jewish sources, and therefore that was a frowned upon practice. The way to avoid Ayin Hara, the tried and tested way to avoid Ayin Hara, is not to put a right to bendel around your mansion and your Ferrari and everything else, and then assume there's no Ayin Hara. It's not to draw attention to your wealth and to your success and to your Hatzlacha. It's to be much more tzanua about it. That's how we avoid Ayin Hara. There's a tshuva in the Deber Tzina in the Ber Moshe where he was asked about the right to bendel. He said, could it be that every Hungarian grandmother was wrong and that it's all Darkei Amori? He says, it can't be. He says, my grandmother was the most religious woman I've ever met, and she insisted that we wear a right to bendel, so it has to, I know the Tosefta, but it has to be that it's okay, because that was the tshuva. He doesn't explain any further. That's it. That it has to be that it's okay. So anyway, so Rabbi Yosef Ruchanina Mehacha, another possible source for how I know that the Zara Yosef is not subject to Ayin Hara, Pasuk says, V'yidgu larov bekerev ha'aretz, that they will be plentiful like fish bekerev ha'aretz. So we've pointed out in the past that that's a mixed metaphor, right? Fish bekerev ha'aretz don't do so well. When fish are bekerev ha'aretz, they typically die. But we're saying, ma dagim shabiyam mayim mechasen aleihem, just like dagim shabiyam, the water covers over them, the ein ayin hara shaletas bam, and therefore there's no ayin hara. Why? Because you can't see them. Again, the way to defeat ayin hara is by being hidden from view, is by not flaunting one's success. So avzar shal yosef ein ayin hara shaletas bam. So too, the zara de yosef is not subject to ayin hara because they are v'yidgu, they're like the fish, in the sense that they're hidden. V'yibay yisema ayin shalorot salos and mashen shalom. Or a third possible reason why he was not, or a second possible reason rather, why he was not worried about Ayin Hara. Again, the first reason was because he becomes Mizar to Yosef, but maybe he had a special zechus. A third possible source that the Zara de Yosef is not subject to Ayin Hara is that Yosef had a special zechus that he did not succumb to the advances of Eishes Potiphar. So someone who was not interested in that which belonged to other people, so that which belongs to him is not going to interest other people. And that's what Ayin Hara is, when that which you have is of interest to other people. So that's why Yosef is protected from Ayin Hara. So three sources of how I know Yosef is protected from Ayin Hara. Either Alei Ayin is Olei Ayin, or Ve'yidgu L'Rav, they like dug him, or because Yosef himself was not interested in that which belonged to other people. Okay, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Nashma Avadim Ketanim, Keturim Mikriya Shema, Umin HaTfilin, Nashma Avadim Ketanim, Rapat from Shema, and Rapat from Tfilin. But, Mechayavim, B'Tfila, B'Mezuzah, Birch Samazan. Mechayavim, Tfila, and Mezuzah, and in Birch Samazan. Tosa asks a fundamental question. What kind of Ketanim are we talking about? Are we talking about 2-year-olds over here, or are we talking about 12-year-olds? Meaning, are we talking about Ketanim that are low Igil Chinuch, or Ketanim that are Igil Chinuch? Because Miman of Shochet doesn't really seem to make sense. Rashi writes that it's a Ketan Shi Igil Chinuch. Says Tosos, if it's a Ketan Shi Igil Chinuch, why is he put from Tfillin? After all, the Gemara Masechta Sukkah tells us, you know when you buy a kid tfillin, katana yodea lishmer tfillin, aviv chayiv liknos so tfillin, that if the child is old enough to know how to protect his tfillin, then you got to buy him a pair of tfillin. So why would we not, why would he be put from tfillin if he's already higiel chinuch? Almak shigiel chinuch the shaykh be tfillin, chayiv be tfillin. And he says, by Kriya Shema, nami yesh chayiv yosar, even more so by Kriya Shema, because when do we start teaching a child the first pasuk of Kriya Shema? Kishi yodea ledaber, as soon as he learns to speak, you teach him to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So why in the world would it be but from Kriya Shema? We're talking about a child who's Higiel Chinuch. Just Derech Agav, even though the Gemara says that we buy a child tefillin at the age that he's Yodea Lishmar tefillin, that he knows how to protect his tefillin, which means he's not going to walk into the bathroom with them, he'll know to put them away, he's going to keep a guf naki when he's wearing them. So how old is that exactly? So for many children, it might be 9 or 10 years old that they're already going to be super careful with their tefillin. But our minhag, we don't do that. Our minhag, we don't have kids wearing tefillin years before their bar mitzvah. Rav Avadia Yosef writes, we should! That children should wear tefillin 2 years before the bar mitzvah. You should already buy them tefillin, as long as they know how to be shomer tefillah. Not all Sephardic posts agree with Rav Avadia Yosef. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, and based on a Bala Yitru, the Rama writes, no, katan yadei lishmer tefillah means once he's 13. That's the kind of katan we're talking about. We're talking about a katan who's a bar mitzvah boy. Bar mitzvah boys, they say, now I'm a man, but they're not really, they're kids. So he's a katan. So in that sense, he's a katan. He's a bar chiyuva in mitzvahs, but that's all it means. It means that even if he's a bar mitzvah already, but he doesn't know how to be shomer tefillin, don't have him wear tefillin. Only a bar mitzvah boy who knows how to be shomer tefillin should be wearing tefillin. That's how the Rama understands. So it's such an unusual thing. I wrote about this in my first sefer, that here, I think it's the only halacha I could think of, where the Gemara is explicit one way, the Rama is explicit another way, and what we do is neither like the Gemara nor like the Rama. Right? The Gemara is explicit that the kid should wear tefillin as soon as he's Yodea Lishmar, which is probably years before his bar mitzvah. Rav Shakta told us that when he was a little boy, his father had him start wearing tefillin a couple of years before his bar mitzvah because he trusted him to be Shomer Tefillin. That's what the Gemara says. The Rama says, no, on the day of the bar mitzvah, not a day before. And what do? The Aruch HaShulchan says, Kamin Minog, a month in advance. Other Achronim say 2 months in advance, 3 months in advance, whatever, some random number that we pick. That's why it's very often people ask the Shaila, our minhag is a month in advance, but we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael 36 days before the Bar Mitzvah. Could he start wearing tefillin then? Yes, it's fine. Right? I mean, there's no halacha of a month in advance. We're not even sure exactly where that comes from. Anyway, so says Tosfos that Rabbeinu Tamos, we're talking about a katan, shelo higiel l'chinuch. Aye, then how can you say that he's chayiv in tefillah? He says, no, the second half of the Mishnah talks about all the things he's chayiv in. That's not about the katan. That's about Nashim Ba'avadim. The Katan is only really included in the first half of the Mishnah, the things that he's potter from. Okay, says the Gemara, Kriya Shema Pshita, Mitzvah Shazman Grabba, becomes Shazman Grabba, Nashim Peturos. Isn't it obvious that women are potter from Kriya Shema? It's a time-bound positive mitzvah. So says the Gemara, Ma'aditema, hold this by Malch Shemayim. I might have thought that Kriya Shema is different because it's so important that it includes Kabbalah from Malch Shemayim, so Kamash Malan. That's why it tells me that even though it's such an important mitzvah, it's a Mitzvah Shazman Grabba, women are in fact potter from Kriya Shema. Umina tefillin, they're put from tefillin, pshita.
Of course they are. You don't wear tefillin at night. You don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. It's mitzvah shabbos man grama. So mal de tema hold the iskish mezuzah. I might have thought that since we compare tefillin to mezuzah, we link it in the parsha of Kriyashma. It's the same pasuk. We have tefillin and mezuzahs. So or one pasuk after another. So that's why I would think that they're chayiv and tefillin the same way they are in mezuzah. Kamash mlon. That's why it tells me that no, tefillin are independent of mezuzah. The chayiv and tefillin, the chayiv and tefila. Why? Why the chayiv and tefila? Derachamininu. Because tefila is asking for Rachmanis, everyone has to have a relationship with Hashem. So Ma'al Detema Hol Ksiv Ba'erv Avok V'Tzarayim commits Sei Shazman Gramadami. I might have thought that since there are specific times to Davin, that there's supposed to be a Shachris, a Mincha, and a Mariv, so therefore Tefillah is like a Mitzvah Shazman Grama, so Kamash Malan. That's why it tells me that no, Tefillah in general is Rachmi, and therefore women are Chayiv in it. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that even Goyim are Chayiv in Tefillah. It's not one of the Shem Mitzvahs, but he says, sure it is. There's a Mitzvah V'munu B'Hashem, that even a Goy is obligated to believe in the and what does it mean to have a munah b'Hashem if you can't communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So even Goyim are chayiv in tefillah. Everyone needs a relationship with Hashem to be able to talk to Hashem. Ubi mezuzah, so pshita, isn't it obvious that women are chayiv in mezuzah? No, ma'adim all this kish Talmud Torah. I might have thought that since there's a link between mezuzah and Talmud Torah, and women are part from Talmud Torah, so kamash melon. That's why it tells me that they're chayiv. Ubirch samazon, and they're chayiv in birch samazon. Pshita, of course, why not? So ma'adim all ksiv b'seis Hashem lechem be'erev basar lechel v'lechem b'boker l'sova. I might have thought that since the blessing of food is described as something that we receive at times of the day, morning and night, so I might have thought that since meal times are slotted in at specific times of the day, that it's considered like mitzvah shazman grama. So kamash mulan that women are chayiv, it's not a mitzvah shazman grama. The Tos says the real havamina that women should be part from birchas hamazon is Tos quotes from Rashi actually is because it says ala aretz hatova and nashim don't get a chelek ba'aretz, unless they don't have any brothers, and bris is also mentioned by some other women are shaykh to bris. I'm Rav Adi Barav. Nashim chayev b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. Women are chayev in kiddush on Shabbos on the dar raisa level. Amay mitzvah shazman grama v'kam mitzvah shazman grama nashim p'turos. Why in the world would women be chayev in kiddush on Shabbos? Isn't it a classic mitzvah shazman grama? Some rabbi midrabanan. They're only chayev midrabanan. I'm like Rav Adi Barav Torah. Come, how could you say they're only chayev midrabanan? The words we just said are that Rav Adi Barav said are nashim chayev b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. You can't sell that as a drabbanan, vote comes to say nechayvinu midrabbanan. Plus, if you're going to say that it's mitzvah shazman grama and drabbanan were mechayiv them, why weren't drabbanan mechayiv them in every mitzvah saseh on a drabbanan level? Ella amar rava amar kra. No, the reason women are chayiv in kiddush is a separate thing. Pasuk says zachar in the first set of asaras dibros, v'shamar in the second recording of the asaras dibros in parshas eschanan. So we darshan kol sheyashem b'shmira yeshem b'zechira. Whoever is chayiv in shmira shabbos, meaning not doing the lametas malachos, is also chayiv in zechira shabbos, meaning Kiddush. V'ani nashi, all this in b'shmira, isnu b'zechira. And women, since they're included in shmira Shabbos, memela, they're included in zechira Shabbos. This is a question in Rishon, whether women are chayiv in Avdallah. So the Rambam writes that zechira Shabbos means to say words of Shabbat and Kiddush of Shabbos, b'chnisaso, uvi yitziyaso, that Havdalah is part of Zechira Shabbos. According to the Rambam, there's no question. Of course women are chayiv. They're chayiv in Zechiras Shabbos. Question is according to other Rishonim, that Havdalah is not part of the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos. Are women chayiv? So it's Deus and Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, therefore Paskins, that ideally a woman should not say Havdalah for herself because maybe she's not chayiv. So ideally it's better for her to hear from someone else. But it's important to know that Meikar Adin, women are chayiv. We Paskin that they are chayiv in Havdalah. So if there's no one else to say Havdalah for them, or all the men in the house already were Yotze Avdallah, so then the woman should taka say Avdallah for herself. Amalei Ravina L'Ravan, Nashim Birch Samazan Daraisa Drabbanan. Are women Chayiv Birch Samazan on a Daraisa level or Drabbanan level? So, my Nafkamina, Lafuki Rabbi, De Chavasan, Nafkamina would be, can they be Motzi other people? Iam, Daraisa, Daraisa, Mafik Daraisa. If they're Chayiv on a Daraisa level, so they can be Motzi other people who are Chayiv on a Daraisa level. But Iam, Drabbanan, Havishayn Mukhib, Dabra, Kolshayn Mukhib, Dabra, and Motzi Rami De Chavasan. But if they're only Chayiv on a Drabbanan level, they can't be Motzi someone who has a greater level of Chiyuv. Who's chayiv on a daraisa level? So my, what's the dinner? Women chayiv mi daraisa mi drabbanan and benching. So tashma the emes amru ben mevarich la'avi ve'evid mevarich l'rabo the isha mevareches l'baila. That really, strictly speaking, a woman could bench and be motzi her husband. Avlamu cham tav meir ladam shish drabbanan mevarich lo. It just looks bad that a husband has to rely on his wife to be motzi him in benching. He doesn't know the words well enough that his children have to be motzi him in benching. That's degrading. So yam bisham daraisa asi daraisa. Daraisa. If you say that women are chayiv in Daraisa, so now I get why we said that a woman could be motzi her husband mikra din. Eliyam drabanan, but if women are only chayiv midrabanan, asi drabanan map Daraisa, how could it be that a woman who's only chayiv midrabanan could be motzi her husband in benching when the husband's chayiv on a Daraisa level? Says Gemara, it won't make sense anyway. Ul tameh katan bar chiyuvahu. No matter what you say about a woman, a katan is definitely not chayiv in benching on a Daraisa level. And yet it said that a katan could be motzi his father in benching. So anyway, we have to make sense of this. Now the case that we're talking about where a katan or an isha could be motzi a man in benching is not talking about where the man is chayiv midaraisa. We're talking about where the man ate less than the shear to be chayiv in benching, so even the man is only chayiv drabanan. That's why the katan and the isha could be motzi him. The malachim said to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, kasam b'toraska asher li'isa panam v'li'ikach shochad v'lo ata nosi panam l'Yisrael. You say in your Torah that we're not allowed to play favorites. We're not allowed to take bribes. And you play favorites to Klal Yisrael. D'chsev yisa Hashem panav elecha. Samalahem v'chilo asa panam l'Yisrael. Should I not play favorites to Klal Yisrael? Shekesafti, you know how good my children are to me, says Hashem. Shekesafti lam b'torah. I write in the Torah, v'yachalta v'savata uv'rach t'shem elokecha. That when should they bench? Only when they ate k'day svia. Only when they're fully satiated. And you know when they actually bench? They eat just a kazayis, just a kabeitza, and they're already benching. So should I not play favorites to Klal Yisrael? Look how they're reaching out to me even beyond what I asked them to do. So there are a couple of kashas in this. The Achronim ask, because they're saying a bracha levatala, now you're going to play favorites? I mean, if they're not chayiv, then they shouldn't be benching. There's also a shaylin poskim. It said, okay, when they eat visavata, when they had enough to kadeh sviya, they're chayiv. What if it was less than a kazayis and they got a kadeh sviya? What if they kept eating to the point that they're full? Are they chayiv and benching because they have the savata, or do you say no, v'yachalta is also a requirement that you need to get to v'yachalta and then the savata, and achila is always with the kazayis? That's a fascinating discussion in poskim. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah. Well.